I'm David Hayward, the Naked Pastor, and you're listening to the Lasting Supper Podcast. Today I'm talking with Eric Soto, who is a member of the Lasting Supper, and he's with the U.S. Navy, stationed down in Guantanamo Bay.
David.
Eric, how are you?
How's it going?
Good. Good, good, good. Good to hear your voice.
Am I coming in? Yes. Am I coming in clear?
Yeah, you are. Very clear. Very clear.
Good, good.
Everybody, we've had technical difficulties. We've been working on this for a couple hours now. So anyway, finally got it working. Where are you, Eric?
Yep.
Where are you in the world?
I am in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba with U.S. Navy.
Uh-huh. How long have you been there?
About 10 months.
Okay.
So I still got a ways to go. About little under 2 years ago. So,
How are you liking it?
it was rough at first. I'm getting, you grow to like it a little bit. It's
right.
It's a very close knit community. I like it. I like what I do.
I work at a radio station. Oh yeah.
I work at a radio station here, and I was doing like the local news and such, but now I've switched on to DJing a country show, and in addition I help out with the commercials, the radio commercials that we do, so it's pretty interesting.
You DJ a country show?
Yes.
Cool. Do you like country?
Which is new for me. I'm slowly starting to get to like it. It's not my normal thing, but I'm growing to like it. So
yeah, I have a son, Jesse. He's 24 now, and he would listen to like Dave Matthews and, you know, people like that. And he started working in the States, and he came back playing country music and listening to country music all the time. So it's kind of an interesting transition. Yeah, it was a surprising transition. So I'm really glad we could talk today. You're a member of the Lasting Supper. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Mm-hmm. How did you end up at the Lasting Supper? What's your journey? What's your story?
Well, originally I had followed your Naked Pastor comics semi-closely over the last couple of years, but I don't remember where I saw it, but I knew it was on Facebook. But it was interesting because at the time that you started that site was about the time that I had been away from the church for a couple of years now, and was really seeking a community. So it just seemed like a good opportunity, and it really has been. I'm thankful that you made the site, and it's been good.
Yeah.
As far as my personal journey, I grew up in the Wesleyan Church, which is basically, a lot of people have never heard of it. It's basically just Methodist.
Yeah.
But I was pretty involved with that. My family is still pretty involved with that. I was pretty devout, pretty into evangelism, and I was in the worship band in my church for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And so that all went well, at least for a while. And but I never really stopped to think very much. I mean, I was into different apologetics and such when I would evangelize people, but I never really gave time to think about what I actually believed.
Right.
So, and when I did, I mean, it came back to two questions in particular. One, how do we know the Bible is true? And two, do those who don't confess Jesus really burn in hell forever?
Right.
Those were the two questions that would come up, but I wouldn't entertain them for a number of years. So,
yeah. What was a breaking point for you? What happened?
I had kind of, I don't want to use the word backslide, but I guess that's the only word I can really use for my faith. And I eventually came back, and for whatever reason, when I came back, that was when I really started to actually think about what I believed and why I believed it. And I would ask questions of my pastor and of different people, and it wasn't that they discouraged the question asking,
right?
But whatever answer I gave you, this, it was kind of like, this is what you need to believe. And, you know, kind of discouraged any seeking beyond that. I mean, they never said that, but it was kind of, you know, implied. So
Okay. It
became about this institution that was supposedly dedicated to the truth was really only interested in naming and claiming that truth. And it wasn't really seeking it,
right,
per se. So, I mean, that was kind of opening. That was kind of an opening of my eyes to that.
Yeah.
But I still continued to go to church from that point for a while. It just, I remained skeptical of it, I guess. And because I had kind of seen that it only gave a very one-sided view, and the more I actually did my own study, which became church for me, I began to see that more. So,
you say it became church for you. Did it replace church? Like, did you stop going, or what happened?
No, I still went mostly for the sake of my family. But whenever I did go, it was just kind of filtering out my own through my own study that I would do in my personal time, because, I mean, that was really where I was getting fed intellectually and emotionally too.
Right.
But I mean, it didn't really replace the community so much, but I just felt myself growing away from that. And I even, oddly enough, I eventually began an ordination process, which I didn't actually go through all the way, but I had started it before joining the Navy. But
is that right?
Yeah. And that was through the Christian Universalist Association. But yeah, as I looked at the different views and kind of studied up on the different views in Christianity and the different theological positions, I guess you'd say, I just really began to realize how subjective the Bible and the way we interpret it is.
Right.
And people usually say, well, we go to the Holy Spirit for that interpretation. But the problem with that was one person was saying, you know, the Holy Spirit led them to this interpretation. And the next person was saying, you know, the same exact thing, and it'd be two different conclusions. So, you know, it really opened my eyes to how we interpret the Bible. And
the Christian Universalist is quite a step from Wesleyan, isn't it?
Yeah, it very much is. I had done a lot of reading on universalism prior to that, and that was kind of the initial breaking point from the fundamentalist theology for me. Because the more I read up on it, the more I realized, you know, there was just so many different, like I said, interpretations to the Bible, and some that clearly made more sense to me than what I had been taught. And I became very suspicious of kind of the fundamentalist institution thing because of that, because, you know, here were all these different views that have been held throughout the centuries, and nobody knew about them unless they went to seminary or, you know, was really into searching those things out. And so,
yeah. Do you go to church now?
I do not go anymore. It kind of, once I joined the Navy and was kind of on my own, it just kind of, I went initially, but eventually I just didn't see the point in going anymore because it wasn't really stimulating me. It wasn't really fulfilling me. So,
It sounds like to me that your journey has been really kind of an intellectual one, where you began to realize that the way you were thinking wasn't falling in line with what you were told to think or believe, and so it sounds like your thinking has taken you away from the church. Would that be right?
Yeah, it's largely, I think. I mean, I'm sure emotion has something to do with it as well, because I mean, there's a lot of beliefs in the mainline church that I've just emotionally become distant to. But I mean, it's a combination of intellectual and emotional.
Yeah.
So,
but you never, there's a lot of people who've left the church because they've had really negative experiences, or they felt like they were pushed out or whatever. But yours sounds more like, you know, I need to find the truth.
There were those negative experiences as well. I mean, nothing I would really elaborate too much on, but I mean, it was just, I just grew distant from it, mostly emotionally and intellectually.
Yeah.
And spiritually, because I set myself on a path of, I mean, it was always about searching God for me, but once that avenue didn't fulfill the search for God and it didn't really encourage it, I didn't feel. I mean, that became the eventual breakdown to me not going to church anymore and really not even holding to any label now, because I realized that through all these different interpretations, we are the ultimate authority in matters of faith, but we may subconsciously put it elsewhere.
Are you comfortable without a label?
I guess it depends on the day.
Yeah, I know exactly what
you mean. It depends on the day. I mean, there's definitely labels that I would identify more with, but definitely the Christian one was always ambiguous to me, but I definitely don't think it really fulfills me now. Although, I mean, I'm not against reading a book by, you know, some of the more open-minded Christian people like Rob Bell or something. But for the most part, I've gotten away from that and looking more into Eastern philosophy and different things like that.
Do you miss anything about the church?
I do. I miss the personal aspect of it. I mean, being near people,
yeah,
being able to worship with people and, you know, talk with people. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, when I did leave the church, none of those friendships carried over, you know, and, you know, very few of those people have actually reached out to me in that time. And, you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. I'm not holding any major grudges or anything. It's just, you know, you realize that most of those friendships are just based on an adherence or an assumed adherence to the same beliefs. It's not really, you know, they're not really genuine friendships, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Most of the time. I mean, it depends. But, I mean, that was my experience.
Yeah, it's been mine, too. It's strange when we left the church a few years ago. The people, we were friends with a lot of people. And then, just like you, one by one, slowly, the friendships just sort of dissolved. Some were more abrupt than others. I think part of it is just practicality that, you know, you're not seeing each other one or more times a week, and so you just sort of lose touch. But then on the other hand, I think there's also the you're not on the same page anymore. And, you know, there's the glue that sort of held us together dissolved, you know, dried up and cracked up, and you know, we lost that connection. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, in addition to that, I was very open about my dissent in theology, I guess you'd say. So, I mean, I can see how that would make it awkward because, you know, here's this person that you or they would perceive as going this other way and not sure how to really engage that. And so I can understand from that vantage point
plus,
as well.
Plus, you know, are sort of an independent thinker and you're exploring and searching for the truth, that can be very threatening to some people, right, who have very tidy categories and they have it all packaged up neatly. To have somebody like you in their life can be threatening.
Right, and it's funny because I don't want to say surprised by it, but it's an ongoing thing when I do maybe get in touch with some of those people. Like, I was actually talking to somebody from my church today, and you know, he just seemed very, very taken aback.
Yeah,
just by me posing questions. I mean, not insulting anyone, just posing questions, and that's a big thing. And especially when I talk to people who are in the ministry, I mean, they will be very, at times, very angry because you are threatening their livelihood. You're threatening all of that just by posing a question, not by being mean, not being attacking. You're just by posing these questions that people don't often ask, you're threatening that, and you are perceived as a threat, and it usually leads to some bad name calling and things like that. And it's very telling.
And you'd be considered rebellious, right? So and what does light have to do with darkness, and one bad apple can ruin the whole bushel and things like that. So, you know, the Wesleyan Church is really strong in the area where I live. It has a very strong presence.
I know there's at least one or two Bible colleges up that way, isn't there?
Yeah, there's one just in the next town in Sussex. It used to be called Bethany. I forget, they've changed their name now. But it's very strong.
Yeah, actually, I'd actually thought about going to that.
Oh, really?
One point in time. Yeah.
You know what's interesting?
It's very strong in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So,
when I was pastoring the vineyard here some years ago, once in a while we would get we would get Bethany students sneaking into our service, and because we were pretty radical, you know, to the left and everything. And the vineyard at the time was very caught up in renewal, kind of revivalist kind of worship and all this kind of thing. And we would have Bethany students, Wesleyan students, come and sneak into our service and enjoy the service. But it was all under the cover of, you know, they would have to be very secretive about it. So it was an interesting interesting thing. So you were involved in worship.
Yeah, I was. I played guitar and sometimes bass for the worship team, which the more, like I said, the more I was open about kind of my change in thought. I mean, the more awkward that came, because every week I was standing, or about every other week or so, I was standing in front of everybody doing worship, and it's like, here, no, that's the heretic or whatever.
But
But
did you ever feel like you were lying in public?
That got to be with the worship songs. I was like, I agree with this, and then I didn't agree with that, and
So,
maybe I'd kind of mumble that part or
yeah, can you listen to worship music now?
No, I mean, I guess I could, but I don't really
You don't.
seek it out. I do write my own music in my own free time, but I still listen to a few Christian bands, mostly of the rock or metal genre, but
Who
I
are
can't
they
really
being?
listen to straight up worship. There's a band called As I Lay Dying that I listen to. Norma Jean. I don't know if you would even know of most of them. There's a band called Red. There's some others too. I don't have my iTunes on this computer. This is this public one, but yeah, I can still listen to it. It's just
Yeah, I have to I have worship stuff on my iPod, and every once in a while I can listen to one or another one, but very often I find myself fast forwarding to the next song. So when they shuffle through, have you settled spiritually? What do you do for your spirituality now, Eric?
That's a good question. I'm still figuring it out, really. I think most of the time I express my spirituality just either by reading, because I take this time to read up on all the different views, mostly out of Christianity, now that I wasn't allowed to or wasn't supposed to search out before. But I either do that or I do my own blog. So
Where is your blog?
just blogging about it's Savage Soto. .blogspot.com. Soto is spelled SOTO. But yeah, that's the main one of the main ways that I just kind of, because when I write it out or type it out, I guess that's when I kind of figure out, oh, that's what I think. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of helps you comb through the progression. And since
No,
I've been doing it over the past 3 years, I mean, you really can see the progression if you go back to now. And
I know exactly what you mean. That's how I process. I sort of think out loud, and I find when I'm speaking about something or writing about something, that's when I figure it out the best. But and it's interesting because I've been keeping a journal now for, oh my goodness, 30 years, and I have tons of journals, and it's interesting because I'll go and read way back years ago, and I think I've matured or grown or anything, and I realize I'm still the same guy. So, I'm still struggling, and and maybe that's just the way we live. Maybe that's just the way we are, is that we're on a continual pilgrimage, or we're pioneers continually, like U2 says, we still haven't found what we're looking for.
Yeah, it's I think it's mainly a journey of not trying to figure out what the absolute truth is. It's just figuring out what seems to be most true, what practices or things work for me best, what ideas work for me best. And like I said, a lot of people are uncomfortable with that because it's all up to you. But I think in the reality, it's all up to you anyway. I mean, it's all up to you whether you go to church or find value in those things, or find those to be the best way. It's all up to you anyway. But I think we don't usually think about it that way. Or but
How do you find your spiritual condition of the way you are spiritually, how does that jive with being in the Navy for you?
I don't know. There's not a lot of crossover, I guess. The only thing I would say it affects is just how I treat people, or trying to be a more compassionate individual, I guess, in a general sense. But I mean, there's nobody that I really talk to about it. There's nobody really. It's just it's a different world entirely from that. So it's kind of like I have different sides of me, or.
So do you wrestle with wondering if you're an agnostic, or are you afraid you're becoming an atheist, or any of these things?
If I'm honest, yeah, sometimes. I wouldn't, you'd normally classify it as fear per se. I don't know. agnostic and atheist have always been such dirty words to me in the past that it's hard to erase that stigma, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
I definitely identify with things that I find in both of those different camps, but I also don't identify with things in those camps because, I mean, especially with the atheist perspective, it tends to view things in a very cold, hard, this is true, this is not fashion, which is really no different to me than the fundamentalist Christian or whatever perspective.
Right.
So I just have a more fluid spirituality than to adhere to one of those labels. I mean, if anything, I guess I would just say I'm a religious pluralist or something in that ballpark.
Yeah, it sounds like you're like me. You react to somebody trying to, peg you or put you in a certain place, that you need to feel the freedom to search and find your own way.
Right, yeah. I'd say that's large and by what it is.
Eric, is there anything that you wanted to say today that you never got a chance to?
Not really, just I feel a sense of liberation, and for the first time I really feel like I can, have a relationship with God and search out God that isn't bound by rules or anything like that. So that's really good.
Should we feel sorry for you?
I don't think so. I feel like I'm at a pretty good place spiritually. I feel, like I said, I feel liberated. I feel free to do my own searching now. So, I
Yeah.
mean, I don't know what you'd really feel sorry about unless I'm just wrong, but we all have that we all have that possibility of being wrong and going to some other religion's hell, I suppose. So,
Well, actually,
but
I really love your contribution to the Lasting Supper. You've got a sense of humor and you're very creative and you ask some really good questions. I think you're in a great place. So it's nice to know you,
thank
Eric.
you.
Thanks for talking with me today.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, and all the best down there in Guantanamo.
All the best to you too. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you on the Lasting Supper.
All right, see you. Bye.
Okay, bye. You've been listening to the Lasting Supper podcast with David Hayward, the Naked Pastor. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or Stitcher. I also want to extend an invitation to join the Lasting Supper online community, where you can connect with other people like you who desire spiritual freedom and independence, and where you can help yourself. Just go to thelastingsupper.com to register.